Unscripted, unedited, uneducated, unconventional, uncensored. Welcome to Illumination Podcast.
It's elimination time. I could not speak, man. I've been at work all day. I'm tired. It is elimination time once again. I am Bob, your host, here with my dad, Dave.
Howdy.
God, that was long. That was loud.
And here for a very special episode, Pauline's special honourable mentions.
Aww.
How are you feeling?
Good. What about my films?
Just in general, yeah, just an overview.
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah.
Got to tell everyone about your salad, your onion salad.
Oh, keep repeating on me. All I can taste is onions.
Who has an onion salad?
No, I didn't. Didn't have onion salad. I had raw onions in my salad. Oh, it was really nice.
How many onions? Sure, half a dozen.
Half an onion.
Half an onion.
Yeah.
Don't do that too many times. Jeez.
No, it was really nice when I ate it, but now, oof.
Oh dear.
It's not very nice. So if I burp during this.
Oh God.
Ignore me.
I'll fit Mike's back.
Yeah. We are here with the draw. There is no draw. So round one is done and dusted. Round two is done and dusted. Now for a little break from our normal regime. Pauline's just going to run through some films and Dave's going to take us through what criteria these films are.
Am I?
Yeah, so they're not 90s.
Oh, no. We're probably having 90s, otherwise we're talking about the same old films that we've just been talking about.
Well, I know that, Dave. I was there when we agreed to do it.
Okay. So, we've got high hopes here, Pauline.
Oh, please don't.
High hopes.
Some of them are very predictable, a couple of them.
It's haven't been chronological order.
I'm just going to do it anyway.
You don't know what that means, do you? I don't know what that means either.
Oldest first.
Before we go, we're only 2 minutes in. You've mentioned salad. I mean, you are on a diet, aren't you?
Oh, I'm bored. I'm going to turn into a chicken. If I see chicken salad, I've had it every day now, a different flavour on my chicken.
You're running out of flavours.
Weeks, it's just driving me mad. You know when you do your dinner and you just look at it and think, can't even be bothered.
And over to Pauline on elimination.
What I do for a portion of chips.
Oh, lovely.
I've hit the wall on my diet.
What do you mean?
Well, I lost half a stone next to no time and now sort of...
plateaued.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
And then that's when it's hard, isn't it?
Mind you, all that rain did now. It's hard to get out for a walk when it's bobbing down the rain.
You got a cycle in your shed?
Yeah, I use that now and again every morning.
Not when it's raining, though?
Yeah.
Oh.
It just makes me think, shall I just stay fat?
Fat.
Well, you know.
Just be one of them. Oh, you know, Pauline, she's bubbly.
As my mum used to say, oh, Pauline, you're not fat, you're just well covered.
Well covered.
Well, thanks a lot.
In meat and gravy. Yeah.
Come on, Porky, get on with it.
If you're out there and you're on a diet,
have you got any diet tips?
Good luck.
Yeah.
Any diet tips?
Hang in there.
Send them in.
Talking of sending them in, before we do get going.
Oh, yeah.
First thing is, we've got a new Patreon.
We have.
And it's the lovely Jane from South Carolina.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, nice. So she's going to be, she's donated.
Shut up. She likes telling her kids to shut up.
That's her catchphrase. So thank you very much, Jane, from South Carolina in the United States of America. And the other thing is, I'll leave you to say it, Dave.
Well, we've got an email address.
We have.
Have we?
We have. Yeah. We set it up. Now, I tried to set it up. Elimination Podcast, Elimination, EL Podcast, EP Podcast. Yeah. I tried so many different ways and it weren't having it. It said it was already existed. So we've got podcastelimination@gmail.com.
We are a bit backwards.
Easy
anyway,
to remember, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was it again?
podcastelimination@gmail.com.
So let us know what you think.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah. keep it clean. Keep it clean.
If you want us to mention anything,
we're only human after all.
Barely. that was the exciting news of elimination.
That was my idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea, though.
Well, I actually had that idea very early on. It was about 3 episodes in, and my missus went, it probably won't last, so I won't bother. And here we are, almost on 100 episodes, so screw you.
She had no faith in your boy.
Well, she didn't have faith in one of the 3 that started off, and she was a little
and
bit right. Right, anyway, films, not from the 90s.
Not from the 90s. Right, so, what's number
ready?
One?
Here
number
we go,
one.
drum roll.
Okay, I'll get me groan ready. Hang on, yeah, it's all ready.
You're going to groan at everyone, I know it. But my first one, my all-time favourite
God,
film.
It's not Love Actually, is it?
No.
Oh, thank God for that. Go on.
1965.
Oh.
The Sound of Music.
Now, that's a funny thing. That is a funny thing. Guess what film I watched this week for the first time?
You never.
I did.
And?
It was all right.
Oh, it's... Oh, my God.
You're joking.
Oh, it's just...
Dave put his apron and he went out in the garden.
What it was, me and wifey, we're going away for a walk. We cancelled our holiday in Spain. It's just too much bother. So we got a week away in this country, and the place has got a DVD player. So I normally try and look around the old charity shop, see if I find something, you know. And I found it was 5 DVDs for £1, would you believe?
Yeah.
And I got 4 that I thought would be okay, but I couldn't find a 5th one, and then it jumped out of me, Sound of Music.
It was calling you.
Still sealed, special edition, would you believe? So we watched it the other night.
You must have liked it. Imagine me, I was about 8 the first time I saw it. I remember I was in junior school and my mum saying, there's going to be a film on this afternoon that I think you're going to like. Oh, I just remember it as clear as day and I loved every second of it. And then on the tape, I had a tape with all the songs in that I used to sit in my bedroom and learn all the words to and sing along to. I'd come home from school because when I was a bit older and Mum bought it on video for me and I used to come home and say, Mum, please can I watch Sound of Music? And used to watch it, well, all the time. All the time.
I was waiting for A Spoonful of Sugar, but it's not in it, is it?
No, that's Mary Poppins.
Oh, same
it?
Thing, isn't it?
It's nothing like it.
It's Mary Poppins 2, really, wasn't it? I've not seen Mary Poppins. Yeah, I know, but it's the same sort of thing.
No, I loved every single second.
I started to watch it with them and got about 5 minutes in. Canelli.
Oh, you... No,
I
you
had
need
to, leave
to
the
stick
room.
With it.
I had to leave the room. I just did my own thing. Went away,
well,
came back.
Was
just, I just can't handle musicals in the sense that it's just like oh no... That man's coming over here. That man's coming over here.
I'm coming over here.
No, nowhere near as bad as that at all.
And then I walked in towards the end and there was like a car chase and I thought, oh, hello, here we go. And it turned out that was right at the end.
Yeah, that's near the end.
Yeah,
the
that
end,
is
yeah.
the literally the end. And then
I do like Christopher Plummer. I think he's a really good actor. Have you ever seen a film of his called Remember?
No, I've not heard of that.
Pauline, that's a great film.
That was dying for you to say, oh, probably, but I can't remember.
it's on one of the things. Check it out. Remember, it's called. It's really old, isn't it? It's only made
it's a modern, yeah, it's
ago.
A modern film.
He's got dementia and he has to go on a mission. Yes, yeah, definitely watch it.
Is in that, oh my God, I think I've got this right. Is he in Knives Out?
The what, sorry?
Knives Out.
Knives Out.
Knife. Knives Out.
Yeah, knives. There's a V there.
Yeah, Knives Out.
Knife Out. I thought he was going on
knives
a bender.
Knives Out yeah. for summer.
You know the film Knives Out?
I've seen it written down.
Knives Out.
Him.
Oh,
Christopher Plummer.
And her in True Lies.
Jamie Curtis.
There's loads of famous people in there.
I mean, she was doing the dance. You've ruined that for me now.
What sort of film is it? What's the genre?
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt? Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
It's about a murder, and it's hard to explain. It's a weird film. I think he's in it.
Oh.
But it's about a murder. My dad's got it on DVD. I'm going there on Wednesday. I'm going to bring it back for you.
Okay.
And watch it.
That was boring, Elimination People.
Of course, one of them five films was as well.
What?
Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah. Why am I clapping? Like a seal. okay, you're going to love it.
Yeah, we ain't watched it yet. No, yeah, well, we will do it at some point.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So when you, if there was a playlist of films of the ones you've seen the most.
Oh, Sound of Music.
Grease.
Hundreds.
Ghost.
Hundreds.
Dirty Dancing.
No, Dirty Dancing, no. But, yeah, Grease, Dance, all of them. But Sound of Music, I reckon I must have seen over 500 times. Or more.
To me, that 500 isn't a lot.
I was going to say, or more.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean,
all my life, I'm 45, and I obviously not so much now would I watch it. But when I was younger, all the time, every day.
No, I would as well. I mean, I did it.
It's more than
It's like binging before binging came in, you know.
It sounds stupid, but it's more than a film. It's my whole childhood, it's memories, it's the feeling.
It's the nostalgic,
it's everything about it.
I mean, that first time you saw it of your mum telling you.
I thought, where's it going to be? And then when it started, and then, because she was naughty, like she was a naughty nun, she didn't listen, and she's like, I was hooked.
I hated the bit where the nun's son climb every mountain.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, no, it just did. I know that song quite well, because when I was a kid, when we got our first record player, my dad got it from someone off work, I think, and there was a load of records with it, and that we had that by Shirley Bassey. And I do like the way she belts it out, and that version just, I don't know if she wasn't singing it at all, she was just miming it if someone else sung it, but it just didn't go.
It didn't work. Me, Mum and Yvonne, we went to the theatre to watch... Like,
Arnie Yvonne.
Yeah, Arnie
Hi, Arnie Yvonne. She listens before she goes to bed.
And when they sung that song all around the theatre, oh, you know when you got goosebumps?
Was there an open door? It was... Breeze coming through. Was there
you
a chill?
Went to do your films. Shit.
Well, like my honourable mentions before, I got three of them out of the way. They were like, yeah, next. Oh, Jesus.
But my ultimate dream, because they've converted the house, like the real Von Trapp.
Not the
house,
impossible dream.
They've converted the real house to a hotel, so I'd love to go to Austria.
Oh, why didn't you go? You could have gone to Austria anytime.
No, go to
go
that.
Now.
All right, see you.
No, you could have gone, couldn't you?
Yeah, I didn't. It's, you know, it's one of them things that you've always thought. I'd love
can't
to
go on
that.
Your own, though, can you? You ain't got another half. You're on your own.
I would have been boring with him anyway. He would have been bored.
Wife, here, go with you.
Yeah, get rid of her.
Yeah.
The girl needs to go with you. They could probably go with you. Yeah, go on, get rid of them all, Dave. Get them all gone.
Oh, the hills are alive.
With a sound of moaning.
No, every partner I've had has taken the piss out of this fascination I've got with Sandy. And they're like, oh, God.
Is it a fascination, though? Is it?
It's
is
a bit
it
of
like
an obsession, yeah.
So, saying...
Well, no, if you like something, you like something.
Yeah, I'm not... what I'm saying is, an obsession for me is like... It, you know, like my wrestling figures, like I'm on YouTube, I'm looking up, trying to see new videos, new information, new like facts about it or anything like that. Have you done that? Have you not now for this, but in general, like have you curiosity?
Yeah, I've read up about the family, like the real family, because it really did happen, and the kids, and you know, a long time ago, not now, but at
I didn't realise it was based on true.
It's a true story. Oh, that's what makes it. You know, I love a true story.
You do.
Even though Dave does tell me
based
stuff,
on
it's not
true. Based on
that.
True.
Yeah.
It ruins it.
Based
totally.
On true. Yeah. It ruins anything.
Well, yeah, it is based on true.
But
it's
did
not...
you know the real Maria, the actual real Maria, was actually in the film. She had a little cameo part.
Did she?
Yeah.
What was she, the prostitute?
That's an FAC too.
No, oh, I need more information than that. I mean, look, I'll give you an example, right?
Yeah.
Django. You seen the film Django? No. Well, it's
Unchained.
Yeah, yeah, with Jamie Foxx. Now, it's based on a program from the 80s or 70s where a bloke in the Western called Django used to carry a coffin behind him with full of guns, right? Yeah. That was where he got it from. The director, what's his name? Pulp Fiction bloke.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, he took that story, made Django Unchained. At the bar, when he goes up to the bar, Jamie Foxx as Django, he's there's a cowboy next to him. He says, "Who are you, boy?" And he says, "I'm Django." And he and then he goes quiet and he goes, "The D is silent." And he goes, "I know." Because he's the original Django. The original Django. Now, that would be an FACT if it was my honourable mentions. Now, this is where you have to impress us. Who was she in the film?
No, she was just in the background because they have she have a line? Theatre. Did she what? Have an eye?
I literally almost wrapped my tea at your face. That was so close.
Did she have an eye?
Did she have a line?
Oh, no.
No, she weren't on drugs.
No. No, she didn't have a line.
Oh.
She was just, because there's a big bit where there's at the theatre, you know, the bit, I mean, where they're singing, and then before they run off, and she was one of the ones, so she didn't have a line.
Oh, you think they give
but
her
she
a...
was just in the background.
Oh.
I know the bird from Lost in Space was in it, wasn't she? She was one of the daughters. I think her name's Angela Cartwright. She was Penny, wasn't she, in Lost in Space?
I've never seen that. I'm not very good with space stuff, am I? Pigs in Space and all that.
I bet those kids hated performing. Oh, bring out the kids before, you know, before they go to bed. Come on. It's like me and my belly roll when we was a kid. Do your belly roll. Do your, do your belly roll. No, I'm 16 now. I don't really. Do your belly roll. No, I don't, and then you end up crying doing a belly roll in the front room in front of everyone. And that's scarred for you for life. No, but I bet they come on, wheel the kids out.
No, in the
come
film,
on, do that
they
dance.
Loved it. They wanted to yeah, do it I bet they more. Did. They wanted there to was... be in the competition, but their dad says no. The only reason they're in the competition is because that's their way of them running off
is
getting
it,
away.
Is it true to say that Julie Andrews only had a 2-film career? I know she was in that Victoria, which had done a little bit of business, but that was about 1980-odd. But she didn't really...
She's in Shrek. Well, just her voice.
She was in Tooth Fairy. With the
I know, but
she's in Cinderella.
Well, she's in all these films. She's in all of them.
Like Barbara Streisand, she was in a load
she
of
had that
big
song
films,
as well.
Didn't she? I mean, but Julie Andrews had them two big whoppers, if you pardon the expression.
And you've got your hand like that.
I've got to Google that picture.
But she didn't make, I don't remember any great films in the late 60s or early 70s.
No, I don't actually.
I mean, she might have done stage work, I don't know, but.
I know she got problems with her singing voice, didn't she?
Well, she didn't have one.
No, she had, I don't know what happened, something with her.
That was later on, though.
Later on, yeah.
Didn't Ursula steal it? Oh, little Disney joke there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so that's my first one. No, I love it.
Coming in, it's a number
favourite
two.
Song? Favourite song from it?
Oh, How to Solve a Problem Like Maria.
How do you?
She climbs the tree and scrapes her knee. Her dress is gone today.
We're just going to leave you to it.
I just love it so much. Do you know what? I reckon if you put the film on, I could probably do the whole film word for word. And
wow.
It's a long film.
Yeah, because you do the dance moves as well.
There ain't no dance moves.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, that's justified. On the honourable mention,
yeah,
say.
Definitely.
Well, yeah, for yours, you're definitely going to say
it
that.
Wouldn't have been on my list, but
no. Can you see why it's a huge hit? I mean, I don't know how it would have felt.
It was a huge hit. The soundtrack was one of the best-selling albums of the 60s in the UK.
I had it.
We done with it. You threw it away.
On tape.
Yeah, it was on tape. I won't have it now.
But it was a massive-selling album.
Every song is just, oh.
I'm just not a musical fan, I don't think. Unless there's a reason for it, like the Blues Brothers. Something like that. They've got a reason to sing.
You should have stuck out, Bob.
I couldn't. As soon as... I felt myself getting more and more depressed the more I watched it.
I remember my best mate coming around as well when we were kids. You know, when he used to come around for dinner after school. And I said to him, "Oh, please, can we watch it together?" And then she loved it as much as me. And
Oh, she not seen it? You introduced her to it.
She's only been about eight.
She's probably on a podcast now talking about how much she loves
she
it.
She is. We're still best mates now. We're like 45.
Oh.
Why is it? Oh.
Well, I don't know why anybody would be mates with you. I'm cooking it straight funny.
Do you know what? Avon is so right. Who's, she says she'd pick on me.
Is this Mandy the whore or is this fat Michelle?
No, this is Marie. You've met her.
Maria?
Maria? Oh, no. Oh, no, we're never going to solve that problem.
Marie, not Maria.
Okay.
Do you know Dad wants
what's
to
her
call
trait?
Me
what's
Maria?
Her, what's her nickname or...
No, she got one. She's lovely.
Would you prefer Maria?
It's
Black Mariah, isn't it? The old police fan.
I'm not sure on that. He was like, he wanted me to be Maria or Julia.
I quite like
and
Julia.
And Julia I would have much preferred. Yeah. But Mum insisted on...
It's very feminine, isn't it, Julia?
Yeah, like me. But Mum insisted...
Yeah, like me.
Mum insisted on Pauline, so... Well, never mind.
Well,
been there with that story.
Well, so, number two. Have you got any other information on that film or before we move on?
Yeah, all the kids are now dead.
All of them?
Wow. Yeah.
They're not.
They are. All of the kids.
They couldn't have lived very long.
They were all died by 2014.
Bloody hell. Somebody,
so the Nazis must have caught up with them.
Somebody taken them out.
That's a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that film was made in 1965.
Yeah, but it came out in 1965. But is that the actual year it was meant to be?
Well,
Second World War.
What? Oh, you mean the real kids? Oh, I thought you meant the kids.
All the kids in that film, they died in their 90s.
Jesus.
I meant the real children.
Of course they would be. Blimey.
I'm just telling you, they all died by a...
No, that was about 1939, wasn't it? Because that was only the start of the war, maybe even 38.
Jesus. I thought all the actors...
See, I always think you know what's going on in my mind.
We have no idea what's going on.
I mean, even the youngest one would have been about 80-odd.
Yeah, and that's sad.
Yeah, he died in... The last one died in 2014.
Shut your face.
Right, next one. Come on, let's move away from this. If this is a musical, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, I'm really sorry. 1987, this one was.
Jesus.
What sort of film? What's the genre?
I'm going to tell you what it is.
I'm going to tell you what it is. 1997?
87.
Oh, that's all right.
Is it? I know what it is.
What?
Is it Dirty Dancing?
Yay!
Now I've
heard another.
Why is yours like the clubbing?
is that where we belong? Does that come from?
Yeah, that's...
No! Yeah, it's lovely. Is that where we belong? I'm doing Dirty Dancing.
What's that from then?
Love lifts us up where we belong.
I think it might be.
No, it's not. I know the film.
What's it from then? I don't know.
It's not Dirty Dancing.
Oh, is it the one with Richard Gere where he walks into the...
Officer and gentleman, I got a question just before we carry on with Dirty Dancing.
Oh, you made me cry.
I know. It's him. Oh, every time he sings, that's why I hear. Did you watch the programme?
No, for God's sake. Oh, sorry.
Oh, God.
I can't even find a reason.
You would have found loads of information on it. I probably know more about it than you because I've seen it.
Go on then.
It was Johnny Spacey as the lead. go on.
Yeah, so Dirty Dancing. Do you know the films that, like, all my films, I remember the very first time I saw them. So I must have been a teenager. And it's another one. I sat with Mum and she went, oh, there's this Dirty Dancing that everyone talks about. She went, should we watch it? I said, yeah, go on. Dad had gone out. I don't know where the Chris and Dad.
He got out Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
And we put it on. Oh, I loved it. Oh, just from beginning. And it was quite raunchy then when I was only like...
Well, yeah, having the word dirty in the title.
Yeah, but when you watch it now, you think, oh, is that it? But, but that does it. Oh, Patrick Swayze was just absolutely...
I've said it before, but he's the man when it comes to that kind of...
That scene, and I still do get goosebumps now, where he jumps off that stage and he turns around. Oh, I wish I was a... I wish I was baby.
I carried a watermelon.
Yeah.
What's the opening scene of the whole film?
where she's coming, she's in the car, and then the shows the hotel as they're driving up, and she says that she was baby Frances, whatever her name was, as she comes driving up. Yeah, it was the year of 1960-something.
63, was it?
Yeah, how did you know that?
Well, I saw it when it first came out.
Oh, yeah. 1963. Oh, I get excited.
Yeah, I know you are, yeah.
I've only ever seen it once.
I've never really wanted to see it.
You know what? It's one of them films. I'll put it in the same sort of bracket as... I know it's not similar to this, but another one of his films, Ghost.
No.
Flashdance.
No, but to me... No, it's not. No, or like Fame. It's not. It's on
like any of
it. It's on its own because it doesn't... It is that kind of... It has got a story. That's what I like about it. It has got that story. Yeah,
Every film's got a story.
Yeah, but this one... Yeah, I get it. I know what you're saying. But these aren't films, as a kid, that I warm towards. Ghost or Dirty Dancing or anything like that. But as I've got older, like, Grease has gone the other way. Where I think I sort of liked it as a youngster. Now I can't even bear to look at it.
That was nearly on my list, but it wasn't in the
You knew your audience was. So, yeah, I get it.
I mean, if my wife wanted to watch it, I'd watch it with her. I mean, nothing against it as such. But,
what, Grease or Dirty Dancing?
Oh, no, I couldn't watch Grease. I've never seen Grease. The clips, the songs.
Oh, I love
hate the
Grease.
Songs. You're the one that I want. I hate that song. Summer. No, not for me.
Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. The one with the garage. In the garage of the car.
Grease Lightning.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. I hate that.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
But this film, I mean...
This is such a good
but
film.
But it had a sort of serious part to it. Did she get pregnant or something?
Yeah, because she falls pregnant. Johnny...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
The dad's partner. Quite... plays a good role,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, the dance partner. Well, she falls pregnant and then... She goes to her dad, baby, and says, can you lend me $250? But I can't tell you why. A
lot of money in 63.
Yeah. And he does because he trusts her completely. Well, it's to pay for her to have the abortion, but the abortion goes really wrong. So she has to go and get her dad in the night, who's a doctor, to get him to sort it out. And then that's why the dad turns against Johnny, Patrick Swayze, because he assumes that he must be the father, but he's not. And then they start a relationship. They fall in love and... The dad hates him with a passion and, oh, it's just so good. He's sacked and he can't do the last dance and he always does the last dance. That's why he comes back. But I had a T-shirt that says, I carried a watermelon. That's the first thing she ever says to him. And then she's really embarrassed. Why have I said that? Because obviously she really fancies him. Oh, it's such a good film. Yeah. And that's a good soundtrack as well.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say when it first said it. Yeah, that's got to be up there as best.
What songs are in that then?
Well, you've got the main one.
Stay. Oh, just a little bit longer. Oh, yeah. Please.
Yeah. Well, keep going. Yeah,
no, I'm not.
What other songs?
Oh, God.
That's not original and, from there, though, is it? Was that already a hit from before?
Yeah, but
they were all hits.
Yeah, probably from 1963.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
So when you say it's a soundtrack, it's just playing old songs,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Grease soundtrack is the songs from Grease and that's it. They are. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's like they put all these good songs together and that's what's in the film.
Yeah. I mean, you get films like The Wanderers that have got really good old songs in and that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anything with Jersey Boys, isn't it?
I'm not a big fan of the Four Seasons. Too high pitched, isn't it?
I'm not a fan of summer.
Summer's the best season.
That was terrible.
That's why it gets the noise. Now, if you did watch that program, and I encourage everybody to go and watch this program.
What program?
On Netflix. I've mentioned it every time Bonnie's been on here. She hasn't watched it. The Films That Made Us. It's got Die Hard, Ghostbusters, Dirty Dancing, and Home Alone, and they talk about the soundtrack. Because all the way through the filming, they hired somebody to make a song for the film, and all the way through, they were doing it, and it just didn't marry up. The director was like, no. And I don't know the end of that story, but it turns out that somebody wrote one song for it, and it was an absolute hit. And then they just said, right, we're going to get these other. But watch that program because it gives you so much more detail. But there's a story just on the soundtrack alone.
I like it as well, the scene. Oh, if you've not seen it to know, the scene.
I've seen it,
Oh, yeah, when they're on the log.
Oh, yeah, that's iconic.
When she's going to have the abortion, they're meant to be doing a big dance at a different hotel. So baby tries to learn the dance to cover for her so that she don't have to get the time off for her to go and have the abortion. So he's trying to teach her to dance, and she's all really stiff to start with, and it gets better. And I love it. And that's a good song, that...
Oh, no, go on.
Hey, hey, baby.
Ooh.
Is it that song?
I want to know.
Yeah. When is he
if you be my girl.
Yeah, that's this kind of girl I'd like to meet. She's alright. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's got some iconic bits. I mean,
what happened to that Jennifer Grading? What happened to her career? Went down the toilet.
Last I saw her, she was a guest on Strictly. Guest judge.
Well, she got a nose job, didn't she? She got a nose job, and she just didn't look like the girl from that anymore, so they didn't hire her.
Why would she do that?
I think she was the sister in Ferris Bueller as well.
Was she?
Yeah, she got a nose job. She always hated her nose. And they hated each other, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They hated each other. They
which you wouldn't believe.
She kept saying, you got to get rid of him. You got to get rid of him. He ain't good enough. I don't like him. He just don't get... And there are... This is why I keep saying
they're
going
to get rid of him and keep her, aren't they?
I think it was vice versa as well.
Did you know it was Val Kilmer that they wanted to play Johnny, but he turned it down?
I wonder if he regrets that.
I like hearing about people who turn down films.
And they wanted... Oh, Sharon Stone auditioned for Baby, but they said she didn't look baby enough.
She looks like a woman, doesn't she? Yeah, you can't. I think the fact that she's a little bit shorter, she looks younger as well.
She looks really young.
Yeah.
She was playing the part of an 18-year-old when she was actually 26, and Patrick Swayze was playing the part of a 24-year-old, and he was actually 34.
Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? Yeah.
Apparently they wanted Frank Sinatra to be Dirty Harry. So could you imagine that?
No, is the answer to that? No.
If anyone knows of any, this interests me, this does. If anyone knows anything, info about actors who turn down roles and that, let us know on the old email or Facebook.
Yeah.
Because that is an interesting subject.
Yeah, definitely. We should do a special on that alone.
Do I deserve any FAC t-shirt?
Not yet. No, you ain't earned it. Also, what was I going to say?
It's the FACT that you haven't earned an FACT.
On Facebook the other day, because you're not on Facebook, are you?
No, I am going to go on it.
Why? We don't miss you.
She relies on smoke signals.
carrier
pigeon.
I'm on Instagram. You never accept my request,
I don't understand
Dave.
Instagram. I don't get it.
He's on it, but you don't understand it. There was a video. They've got videos of them two when they first danced together. Like as a set.
Oh,
like
I've seen
test
film. I have seen that.
And it's amazing to think that they don't get on.
They look as if they would get on really well.
Because they were sort of laughing. You know, when he does that sort of tiggling her armpit and all that kind of stuff, it's like that.
Oh, she's so lucky, isn't she?
Not near.
Well, you know.
And I had another fact then. But they're all on that programme. Watch that programme.
Yeah,
Pauline,
I'm gonna.
Watch that programme. For goodness sake. Right, okay, are we moving on or?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Number three. What year is this one?
This one is
1928.
My next two are quite newish films, but I love them.
Oh,
really love them.
Captain.
So I wanted them to be in. 2000, I think I've mentioned this on here before, so I think you've not seen it. 2016.
Is it 2016 or 2016?
2016, I like to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't say 1,964, though, did you? Oh. Come on, get on with it.
Lion.
Oh, this is the one you mentioned.
Seen it.
This is the one you mentioned,
I knew we hadn't seen that one.
Yeah, but you said I've got to write my four best ones.
I know, but you knew we hadn't seen that one, so now you're going to rattle on about it. It won't be worth
us watching. We're not going to allow her to rattle on about it. Just tell us what you like about it. Go.
I don't think you've seen my next one either.
Go.
But no, next one, my dad's got on DVD, so I'm going to lend it to you.
Okay.
Oh, after the honourable mentions.
After you tell us all about it, yeah.
you tell us the ending. I had to do my four favourites.
That's fair enough. That's what this is all about.
So is it an African lion?
No, it's about a five-year-old little Indian boy called
Is it subtitled?
Saru. The very first half of the film,
subtitles don't bother me.
The very, very first half.
The first half of the film is subtitles.
Okay.
And the second half isn't.
Right, okay.
And he gets lost. Him and his brother go to the station and they accidentally lose each other. And he ends up getting completely lost. And then he gets taken into care. So much happens. You need to watch it. Gets taken into care. And then Nicole Kidman's in it, but she's not the main feature in it. The boy later on is played by the, you know, in Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's played by him.
It's, yeah, he's in he's in Chappie as well.
Oh, I've not heard
I was going to say, no, I'll come back to it. Go on, keep going. Oh, what genre? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What genre would you say this film is?
Well, it's just, I don't know.
Oh, God, she's, well, full, she's full of information.
Well, what would you say it is? It's not a thriller.
I haven't seen it.
It's not a love story. It's just about his life.
What, is it a thriller? Is it a harrowing? Is it a coming of age?
Very sad. It's nice, but not.
The poster says lion. Very sad.
It does, actually, because when I was reading up on it, it says, like, if you're human, you will... Like, in other words, everyone will
you won't then,
really,
Dave.
Really nice. Anyway, Nicole Kidman plays the mum who adopts him, but he just don't feel settled in life. He just can't, you know, because he knows his real family are out there somewhere.
Right.
So 25 years later, he tries to find them. Oh, it's amazing. And it's called Lion because his name means lion in Hindi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, well,
oh, you need to watch it.
I mean, that's
it.
A anyone trailer for there, it. It does sound good, actually.
Anyone out there that hasn't watched it, you must watch it.
Lion.
It's so good.
So you, the last two you told us when you first watched them. When did you first watch that one?
About 8 months ago,
How did it come
ago?
To your attention then? Who... Because we, if we hadn't
well,
seen
I don't
want to
mention
film...
his name.
Oh, no, you mentioned Lewis. It before.
And, oh, Louis. Oh, getting
sorry,
boring now, isn't it?
You asked me.
Yeah.
And he'd seen it and thought, oh, you're going to love this. So he told me to watch it. Okay. And I was bored one evening and I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. I cried my eyes out at the end.
Well, okay.
I did. And okay. I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Oh, it's a thought provoker.
Yeah, you just... And then when you find out different things, I won't tell you or anyone that wants to go and
well, you've definitely,
watch it.
I quite like these films that have Indians in it. The
Why is that funny? I
like these films with Indians in it. I mean, what was that film we watched, Dave, with the Indian restaurant?
That's what I was about to say.
Oh, grow up.
But I liked the ones from the, they must have been 90s, East is East. See,
oh,
that?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
good. I've tried to get that in this, but they wouldn't entertain it.
Oh,
but there's a film with, I think it might be on...
Just tell us about the film, though.
Yeah. It's free anyway. I've seen it twice. It's only quite recent. It's... I think it's called 100 Feet or 100 Yards, is it? 100 Feet?
The 100 Yards?
Yeah.
So, yeah, something like
it's
that.
About an Indian family who get, the restaurant gets set alight or something in India and they move to France. They go to France.
They lose their,
they lose their.
Quite harrowing.
Go to France and they looking around France and their circumstances take them to this place and the bloke who's the head of the family, the dad, says, oh, this place looks great for a restaurant, like, you know.
Yeah.
So they start doing it all up, and they get it as an Indian restaurant, but 100 yards over the other side of the road, it must be 100 feet, mustn't it?
Yeah.
100 feet over the other side is Helen Mirren with a posh five-star
Michelin star
restaurant. And of course, she don't like the idea because they're quite loud, you know.
Yeah, they're on their front lawn doing
all the Indian music, you know.
I love
yeah.
the Indian music. I'd love to go to an Indian wedding. Always wanted to go to an Indian
Bride
wedding.
Bride wears red, didn't she? Indian wedding.
Yeah. yeah.
If you're out there and you have an Indian wedding.
I like
it. Did you get a chance to see that film?
Yeah,
100 Feet, I think it's called.
Yeah, it sounds good.
She's good. Helen Mirren's good.
Oh, I like
everything.
Her, yeah.
Can't do no wrong.
Tis true. Well,
but
Lion.
It's really good film.
No, we'll give it a go.
It's like right slums of India, but they haven't got nothing, but they're really happy family, and it's just what happens to the family, and then the end where, I can't tell you, because you should see it, but it's really, really, really good.
Makes a change, not for the spoilers to come out.
Yeah.
But that's good. Okay, that's fine. Lion.
I don't think you've seen the next one either.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
I've never heard of it.
It's already Corbett in it.
Right, so the next one is a 2018 film.
Oh, blimey.
Green Book.
Oh, this is Vigor.
I love this film.
It's Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay. Do you know what?
What's his name? Vigor or something?
Vigor?
Yeah.
Mortensen.
Oh. Mortensen, yeah, that's it.
I didn't want this film to end. When it ended, I thought, no, don't end. I want it to carry on. I want to carry on with you both. It's just such a good film.
Oh, whoa, he's allergic to it. We haven't watched it because he's allergic.
Yeah, so
I haven't seen this film. Dave hasn't seen this film, have you, Dave?
No.
Dad's got it on DVD.
But I've seen the poster is him leaning out his car. It's one of them that's been on my list.
So it's set in 1962.
He likes the 60s, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I do like films set in the early 60s.
The music, the soundtrack is just all... As I was watching it, I thought, God, I want all this music on the CD. I was like, it's just so good. Every song, I thought, oh, this is good. Oh, this is good. And it's about a bloke called Tony Lip, Italian-American. He could be in... yeah, they're exactly
I'm
like that.
In.
Big family. Yeah. And they all talk. They don't say that, what you say. But they all talk like that. He's a bouncer and he's... Jack the Lad and all that. And then you've got this really, really posh African-American bloke. Hasn't got no friends, lives on his own. He feels like he don't belong anywhere because he wasn't rich. He was, like, rich for a coloured man. Didn't happen then. Yeah. You know, he needs a chauffeur because he's going to be touring around South America because he's a pianist.
Right.
So they're different ends of the spectrum. You think they would never get on. And... it's their relationship that grows. They don't like each other at the start, and it's just, oh, who are you?
Oh, I love them sorts of things.
Oh, and when it ends, I cried at that one as well.
I love those
true story.
Yeah.
And
oh, is it?
And at the end of the film, it tells you all
based on true.
No, don't ruin it for me.
It's kind of like, it makes me think of, what's that film we watched, Dave? Oh, we'll come back to it. Go on, carry on. I'll think of it.
Yeah, so at the end of the film, it tells you about them now, about their
like the end of Catch Me If You Can when it says what they've been doing.
Yeah, it's just so good. And Tony Lip is just so rough and ready. And so he brings him down a bit, but he brings him more out of
the shell
a
bit.
Like he'd never had a Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's just such a good film.
That rings a bell, that Tony Lip name.
Yeah, that's his nickname, Tony Lip.
There's been another programme he watched with something.
Well, it sounds like a Sopranos character. Yeah. But it reminds me of, not Million Dollar Baby, Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, that's a good film.
Where he's completely, a bit like American History X, I suppose, where he's so against like that community and what they believe in. And then over time, it takes time for them to get to know something
but
like that.
The start of the film, it shows you his wife, and she's got some... people in to do some work on the house. He works nights, his bouncer is in bed. And the two men that come and do work on the house are coloured. So and she offers them a drink and they have a drink. Well, he gets out of bed and he looks at them as if to say, where comes it? Shooting. And the glasses that they drunk out of, he puts in the bin.
Because
it starts off where they're really...
Wow.
Okay. Opposite ends.
Yeah. And the racism that he, like, gets on these travels, and it opens up his eyes, this Tony Lip, and you think
he sees it from
beginning
the other side.
To like him, and they're beginning to warm to each other without saying, and
it's
just such a nice, it's such and a then, good film.
And then they get on horses and go to Brokeback Mountain.
And you know why it's called Green Book?
Go on.
Because at the beginning of the film, he's given the Green Book, like the bloke gives him the Green Book of all the hotels they can stop at, because the Green Book is that gives a list of hotels that African-American people can stay at.
Oh, okay.
They can't, not allowed to just be at any hotel because they're coloured, which is, you can't believe
it, can you? Yeah, no, you can't imagine it now. But it's like the Yellow Pages kind of...
For African-Americans where they're allowed to stay, It's just such a good film.
It does sound good, actually. You've really sold it to me, Dave.
Yes, that sounds good, but is that name Tony Lip? It's annoying me.
Yeah, Tony Lip.
I heard someone in the Goodfellas or something was called something Lip.
Tony
Lip. We called him Sanso the Lip or something.
Yeah,
that's what
I can imagine that, yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
Well, really, I mean, you sold them to us.
You know what Dad's like? All he likes is, like, blood, guts and gore.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, he just likes all the blood, guts and gore. And when I was down there, I'd seen it, like, about a week before, and I said to him, oh, Dad, we've got nothing to do tonight. let's watch this film. He put it on and he loved it. And when we was out shopping, he saw it on DVD and bought it instantly.
Oh,
he went,
really?
Oh, I'm going to buy it, so I've got it to keep. So I'll bring it with me if you want to give it a go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, it's obviously Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. Is the other guy anyone we know?
I think I wrote down his... No. But the wife is... Do you know Linda Cardellini?
No, that sounds like a soprano.
But I think, because I recognised her enough. Have you ever seen Scooby-Doo? You know Thelma? You know the real film Scooby-Doo?
Oh, I've seen pictures.
She plays Thelma, I've seen pictures. I think. I recognised her as that possibly, woman.
Yeah. Is that based on true as well?
It's really, really, really. Anyone that hasn't watched it, I mean, you might watch it and think, what a load of crap. But I know it won awards and it's the music's good. When they're in the car and he puts on the radio and the pianist goes, well, what's this? He goes, my God, you don't know. It's, I won't tell you.
Yeah.
But it's
really, worlds collide, isn't it? Yeah. I like that sort of thing. Yeah. Like Dallas Buyers Club when he's totally against it and he gets AIDS himself. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, you'd love that. Wouldn't you? Dallas Buyers Club.
I've never heard of it. Film.
It's Matthew McConaughey. He plays a rough, ready rodeo kind of bloke, and he gets AIDS, and he don't believe them because he's not gay. I'm not gay. I can't get this and all that kind of stuff. And then he sort of, his community goes against him.
He walks in that bar, that his bar, yeah,
and his mates are sitting there, and he ends up sort of getting spat on and he's scum of the earth and all this kind of stuff. So then he sort of has to come away and he's warmed into the gay community, homosexual community. So it is like worlds collide, like you say. I think you really like that. I think you really
like that.
Dallas Buyers Club. It's got Jared Leto in it. Do you know who he is?
No.
He plays the blonde guy in Fight Club.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He got a band as well. 30 Seconds from Mars is the band. Mm. Yeah.
So then my four.
I mean, we started off strong, I must admit.
I also, because it was really hard, and I'm going to say it really quick, Grease, Hacksaw Ridge and Parasite. I know I'm only meant to have four, but they're another three that I really wanted.
Should have put Parasite in.
I haven't seen that.
We've all seen Hacksaw Ridge, though, haven't we?
Yeah.
I watched it on the plane on the way to America.
That was a really good film.
It was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Based on true.
But based on true.
And they do the bloke. He looked a bit like the bloke, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, that was an incredible story. And if they didn't have the footage of him at the end or any kind of validation at all, you just wouldn't believe it, would you?
No.
It's one of them things.
It's just when they all got to get their rifles, there's one left.
Yeah, and they're like,
I'm
not going to take a gun. And his dad stands up for him for the first time ever.
Yeah.
I think his dad is the bloke from Lord of the Rings, the Elf King Lord, whatever. And Agent Smith from The Matrix, that bloke.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Anderson.
That was such a good film.
It was hard for me to get... I had about 10 on my list. It's hard for me to get to 4.
Get it down to 4.
Yeah, and Paris... Oh, you haven't watched it?
No, I haven't. No.
Is that
subtitled as well?
The whole thing's subtitled.
Yeah, don't let subtitles bother you, Bob.
No, they don't bother me. It's a good film. I have to really think about it because...
Very strange film.
My missus won't entertain it as subtitles.
And I used to be like that. I'm not watching that.
Yeah, but she'll look at her phone. Like, we only just watched Apocalypto, which I think is amazing, which is subtitled. But it's all action. It's all action. It doesn't stop. And got to the end, and I was like, "Wow, what a journey! Like, what a film!" And she's like, "Meh." And I'm like, "Yeah, but you're on your phone. It annoys me. If you're listening, she never listens to this, you bitch." Hey, what?
She never watches anything about being on her phone.
No, she can't.
Oh, I couldn't. Yeah. I need to focus 100% on.
And sometimes I think she's not watching.
Because we was watching that program last night about the murder in Ireland of the French woman.
Yeah, that's right.
And she would have missed off that because they went back to Paris to talk to her parents, and she wouldn't have heard none of that. So she won't want to carry on with that program.
Yeah.
Because
she's sort of missed it. Yeah.
So we're going to carry on the wrong with that one.
Yeah, I've missed out on that. But yeah, so when I talk about subtitles, it's not that I won't watch a film with subtitles, because I watched, there are two films that made me change my mind, because I always said, no, I'm not going to ever watch a film with subtitles.
Right, there's a lot of good French films.
Yeah, there are two main ones. One was Apocalypto, because it was just brilliant. It was all action. And I watched that on your recommendation, Dave. And the other one was Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, what a film that is. You seen that?
No, I've not heard of that.
Oh, it's a fantastic film. Pan's Labyrinth.
And I'll tell you a funny story about it. When it came out and it was in the cinema, my mates went to see it on the belief that it was a really dark version of Peter Pan. And it's nothing to do with Peter Pan. And they came back and they were like, what? What's that all about? It's nothing to do with Peter Pan. You said it was about Peter Pan.
It's a good story because it's like two stories. It's like it's a young girl in the Spanish Civil War, about 1936, something like that. And so this good Spain was fighting each other. There was two sides and she was with the ones on the wrong side. So you had that sort of story there, the real life danger of that.
Yeah.
But then she gets involved in like a mystical world as well.
Supernatural kind of
thing. Yeah, so you have the two things. Great film.
What is it called again?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh.
Really good film, yeah. Yeah,
better be on Amazon or Netflix.
I didn't want to watch it because it's like a. I was told it was a full out horror, but it's not. It's a really good sort of thriller.
Yeah, mystical. It's a bit a bit horror-y in there, but you'd like it, I think.
Yeah,
don't like too much horror.
No, neither do I. You know me. I'm delicate.
you're not keen on my four.
I think we peaked early. On that, I'm with you. Sound of
but
music.
If you'd seen them, you would have been more.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I don't know why you picked films that we hadn't seen, but that's fine. I mean, it's your four films.
I won't know them.
I'll pick films that you've seen, definitely, so that we can talk about it.
Well, you didn't
that's what
say
a podcast.
To me, please make sure we've seen them. You just said it's got to be your four.
But on Bob's defence, we
listen to my lawyer.
Pick four films we can discuss.
I did.
No, but look, if they are top films that you enjoy,
really
then there's no reason for you not to talk about them.
Let's start because again, and I'll choose a different film.
Because when I did my honourable mentions, we don't tell each other what they're going to be. So it's down to you at the end of the day. And if you listen back to my honourable mentions when I talk about Big Brother or Turtles. I mean, we had 10 minutes gone. I'd already gone through half of them. So it's all down to you and what you want to bring to the table, the stories you want to tell about when you saw it first, nostalgic feeling. That's what it's all about. But I do agree, your first two, The Sound of Music and Dirty Dancing, was that was the height of it, I think, because we haven't seen them. But we will see them very soon, and then we can discuss them on future episodes. How do you feel it went?
Well, shit now. Well, I'm really pleased with my films. I wish I'd changed Hacksaw Ridge and Parasite. But I like these two just a tiny bit better.
Well, there you go. You've done it, you know.
See, I could have had Grease and you haven't seen that either. So
I've seen it in clips. I must have seen every clip from it. Like, does he have a car?
Why does the car fly at the end?
Oh, I don't know. I've never understood that. That's really
That's
weird.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, isn't it?
Hey, ho. Yeah, no, it's not.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was written by Ian Fleming, the same one who wrote James Bond.
Whenever Dave does this a lot, David's the quiz man, he will say to me, stand over there, I'm going to play this clip on this telly, tell me what film this is, go. And you're there sort of listening or whatever. And Dave, he'll do it all the time, loads of different things. But the other day, a song will be playing and he'll go, who wrote this? And I'll just guess. And my guess is always Prince. Because Prince wrote a lot of bloody songs that he didn't sing.
And just another manic Monday.
Yeah, and the other day he did that to me with that song. And I said Prince, and he went, yeah. No reaction, nothing. So I didn't.
You want a round of applause?
Yeah, I went. Oh, well done. Yeah,
I was just bluffing it through.
Yeah, I was. I literally. You don't answer that question every day, but every once a month he'll say, "Who wrote this?" I just say Prince every time, and it's right.
Do you know Bee Gees wrote a lot of songs, didn't they?
Yeah, they wrote Chain Reaction.
Chain Reaction. Ross, yeah. Do you know I didn't know that till recently. Surely I'm getting some sort of FACT at some point.
Neil Diamond wrote a lot of songs. He wrote I'm a Believer by the Monkees. You know that song, didn't you?
Well, the Monkees did. Yeah. You know that song, but we've never heard it. I mean, do you want an FACT? I mean, give us a fact.
No, don't
give
bother.
Us something.
I don't want one now.
Well, you're getting one. No, you've got to come up with a
I
fact.
I did give you facts. I gave you ages. I gave you people. I gave you stuff.
Cameos.
Yeah.
No lines, just
against me because you ain't seen my two films.
I mean, Dirty Dancing was a peak for me. There's a lot of information.
There might be people out there that have seen this and they're going, yeah, she's right. That's good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something that fascinates me.
We'll let them get their own podcast.
Is what travels to the United States and what doesn't, and same coming back the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, like Cliff Richard in America, nothing.
Oh, over here, he's like Elvis.
I can't
over here,
he's
sold more records than anybody.
Oh, no, I can't bear.
Well, he has been gone for 50, 60 years. He was all right up to about 1963, and then forget it.
I liked what good. Film was he in?
The Young Ones.
No.
What was that? She did like a sword fight.
No, that's a tennis racket. In my head.
In Wimbledon?
No, I don't know what I'm thinking of that. Big Red Bus, Summer Holiday.
Summer Holiday,
where
yeah.
Where pretending to... There's the girl pretending to be
We're
a young
all
boy.
Going yeah. on
a I mean...
He's never been cool.
Oh, yeah.
In my eyes...
He was.
No, in my lifetime, he's never been cool.
Yeah, he has in my lifetime, up to about 1962. He was, rock and roll and all that, and then suddenly it just stopped, and he became...
Every nan's favourite.
What happened to him was the Merseysound came along and made him old-fashioned overnight. All the big bands, the Beatles, Stones, all that lot, came along, and all them singers overnight became old-fashioned. I think it's Jerry Lee Lewis in America said he killed all the Bobbies. There was a load of Bobbies, Bobby V and... Bobby Rydell was another one, the Beatles came along and just killed their careers overnight. But with Cliff Richard, it killed him, made him old-fashioned, so he became the all-round entertainer.
Yeah.
Making terrible films, and also, being the mum's favourite and having his show on BBC at night,
Yeah.
So that's why you think he's boring, because you saw what he became. It's like Elvis. Elvis was great, wasn't he? The rock and roll Elvis, all them great songs. And so he went in the army and come out and it was Wooden Heart and Good Luck Charm and all that rubbish. I mean, after the war, he come out of the army, he just wasn't the same bloke. He had a bit of a comeback in 68 that was quite good. And then it was Fat Elvis at Las Vegas and that was it.
My favourite Elvis. The only Elvis I can relate to.
But, I mean, the English comedians, like Ricky Gervais, made it big in America, didn't they?
Yeah, but why because not, of the Golden Globes.
Why not Peter Kay?
Because The Office won Golden Globes.
But The Office programme was big in America. 40 Towers was massive in America, but not only Fools and Horses,
yeah,
which was a bigger show over here.
Yeah.
It's funny transfers and what does. I mean, all them country and western stars like Garth Brooks. You go up the street now and say who's Garth Brooks, no one will tell you. They wouldn't know
him. I wouldn't have a clue.
No.
Like Oasis and Robbie Williams and people like that.
He's massive. Yeah, Robbie Williams didn't do nothing in America. Oasis couldn't make it in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at, I know he's not a singer or nothing like that. Look at James Corden in America. He's huge over there, isn't he?
The Late Show.
Isn't that weird?
I don't like him at all.
You don't like him? No. Oh, I do like him, but I didn't imagine him to be huge in America.
I think
like
the best
bit,
I read his autobiography when just after Gavin and Stacey sort of ended.
Oh, I love that.
I read his autobiography just because his journey just seems, it's almost like the Gareth Bale story or Jamie Vardy or whatever. And it's just from nothing to everything. And he's, before he was famous, and to be fair, when he did get famous, he turned into an arsehole. And he did say that on the thing. There's a famous bit with him and Patrick Stewart at the awards shows, which is...
Yeah, that was Patrick Stewart's fault. He started that.
It's really embarrassing.
He called him fat or something, didn't he? His fat belly or something, and he came back in.
But he was goading, yeah. They were both as bad as each other. It's embarrassing.
That wouldn't have happened if Patrick Stewart... No. I like Patrick Stewart, but he started that.
Yeah. But there's a famous bit where he was the guy in Hollyoaks. He was the fat guy in Hollyoaks. And... this is what changed his whole career path, was that when he was on Hollyoaks, he was the fat guy and he was quite the funny fat guy. And everyone was like, oh yeah, we like him. And then they offered him to come back for the next season or the next few 10 episodes, 20 episodes. But they offered him a ridiculous amount of money. Come back and you're a running character now, you're in it forever. And he came back and he was on set for the first day, and his first scene was in his bedroom, that character's bedroom. And instead of having footballers on his wall, he had like bags of chips, like pictures of chips and Full English and all this kind of stuff. And he was like, oh, this ain't, this is shit. Like, this is this is ridiculous. So he went home and he had a conversation with his dad. And he was like, I don't know if I want to do this, Dad. I don't know if I want to. And he was like, how much are they offering? And he said some ridiculous amount per episode. And he said, well, if you've got to think about it, it's a no, isn't it? Surely. Mm. And he turned it down and then sort of Gavin and Stacey came out of that. And but there's loads of stories about him just being a fat loser.
He was in a programme called Fat Friends.
Fat Friends, that's right.
Yeah. I used to really like
that. He was in Teachers as well with Rick Grimes from Walking Dead as well as a teacher. But yeah, he did a lot of extra stuff, and that's why I liked his sort of story. But yeah, he says as soon as he made it, he sort of turned into an arsehole, get all the money and all this. And he wanted to be, they had that award that was like Shagger of the Year and all that, and that he wanted to be that, you know, he wanted to be the bloke. And he then sort of split up with the girlfriend he was with, got with somebody else, and he sort of just become grounded a bit more. And then he got the offer to go over there. And
do you like any of his carpool karaoke?
The best one, the only one, really. I mean, the Paul McCartney one is brilliant, where he goes around Liverpool. You've seen that one.
Goes to Paul McCartney's house where he grew up.
Oh, yeah, but the best thing, exactly the same.
The
as
best
when
thing
he grew
about
up.
It is, though, he goes to a pub in Liverpool. It's got a big curtain, and the jukebox is all Beatles songs. So when people are going up and putting A3 Lovely Do, the curtain would open and he'd be there with his band playing Lovely Do.
Imagine that.
It was good. That was clever. Yeah,
it was brilliant. And now and again, this whole James Corden of League of Their Own and like with Jamie Redknapp, I hate that part of him. But when you see him in that car and Paul McCartney plays Let It Be and they're both singing along to Let It Be and he just bursts into tears.
Have you seen that?
YouTube.
When I was watching it, I felt it because he said I remember my granddad sitting me down saying, listen to the most beautiful song, and now I'm here with you singing along to that. So it was just a combination thing, but my favourite one is Stevie Wonder.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, it's my favourite.
Stevie Wonder's
the best
one.
He sings to his wife.
It makes me emotional as well watching it. Stevie Wonder, he's a wonder, isn't he? He's amazing.
I mean,
because he gets in the driver's side first. Yeah. I think we should swap. And James Corden's got a harmonica, and he goes, right, Stevie, I've got a harmonica here. I want you to teach me how to. And he goes, oh, let me have it. He takes it off and he just throws it away. Yeah. Doesn't he? He's like, no, you'll never learn it. Don't worry, man. He must get so many people.
Good, that one.
Yeah, it is good. But I like them all. But when it gets a bit, when he was. I think he had, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah, when they just stop.
They start fighting
on somebody's front lawn.
Yeah.
I
liked that one.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I don't really like them, like the band, I don't really know their music. But he did. Yeah, he's done one with loads, and he was flirting a bit with Mariah Carey, wasn't there? There was a bit of tension there. But yeah, I don't mind him. Gavin and Stacey is all right.
I love Gavin and Stacey so much.
I think they should stop it now, though. I haven't seen the last one.
No, I need to know whether he says yes or not.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the last one.
They've got to.
They keep talking about it, don't they?
They've got to. They can't leave it at that. They can't.
Check out Gavin and Stacey. You haven't seen it. Well, I mean, we're over an hour.
Are we?
We are.
Cool.
And it's time for Diary.
Well, it's nearly the next day now. Right. 5th of July, 1971. See if you can guess what sporting event's on at the moment. Work. At night, go over park, play tennis. Then go for a drink in the Crown and Greyhound.
Diary. I can't imagine you playing tennis, Dave.
Every year we went over there. As soon as Wimbledon started, you just get a tennis racket, wipe the dust off, and go with the courts over Ruskin Park. Oh, I'm John Newcombe. I'm Art Rash. I'm Bjorn Borg.
Oh, I'm rubbish at tennis. I liked badminton because it's easy because it stayed in the air easier, didn't it? Longer.
I played squash once.
Oh, that's so hard.
Yeah, there's a thing about squash, saying, isn't there? You don't play squash to get fit. You get fit to play squash.
Yeah. I was run ragged. I didn't hit the ball once. I was literally just running side to side.
I bet you were sweating. I bet you were a pool of water on the floor.
I'm sweating now just thinking about it, yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. He said to me, "Well, what you want to do is you want to end up in this square. Because if you're in this square, you can hit the ball side to side and the person runs around behind you. That's the idea. You want to be the person to get in that square." I never saw the square. I never got anywhere near it. Oh, my sweat was just right backwards and forwards behind him. It was ridiculous. He had to sort of call time in the end. He was like, "Yeah, we still had like half hour left in the thing." And he was like, "Let's just go, shall we?" I was like,
"Your hands and knees."
Sweating pure burgers. Yeah. Oh, well, tennis, Dave. Didn't keep that up, did you?
No. I tell you, it was really good back then. All the players were great. They seemed to have fun when they were playing the game. You just get good rallies. This terrible game now.
What tennis players was it there? Was it Martina Navratilova?
Martina Navratilova. Yeah.
I thought was you had it? A stutter.
Was it that era?
Yeah, she was around then.
Steffi Graf.
She was a bit later. Oh.
McEnroe.
No, you before it was pre McEnroe. I'll tell you, he won it that year after Ash. Here's a thing for you. He beat Jimmy Connors in the final 6-1, 6-1, 5-7, 6-4.
What? How does he know?
I mean, he could be making it up, to be fair, but I doubt it. Knowing that
that's got to be an FACT, surely.
You didn't earn it, Pauline.
No, but Dave.
But Dave.
FACT. FACT.
I'll tell you that on the day of the final, that Saturday, we were on a Beano to Margate. And we knew the final was on, but no one was really interested. It was just all getting boozed up, like, you know. But everyone assumed that Jimmy Connors, I mean, he slaughtered Ken Rosewall the year before, easy. He thought he was just going to thrash Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe with a lot of potash. But we went in the bus all the way down there, got drunk going down there. Then we went into the pub. Dancing with the girls and all that.
You hustle. Oh.
And then we come out and we went to the cafe and they had the tennis on. And all we saw was 6-1, 6-1. So, oh yeah, he told you he'd thrash him. And we couldn't believe it. It was the other way around and Ash was thrashing him. Yeah, it's just one thing crazy. But tennis was great in them days. Nastasi was great. I mean, but ever since they brought out the metal rackets, the serves everything. And it's just... serve is either an ace or they can't get it back or he hits the line, he has a second serve. I mean, and they don't seem to enjoy themselves. I mean, I remember John Newcomb and that crowd, they seem to have a laugh on the court, you know. They don't seem to have that now. I mean they're all millionaires. They're travelling the world, they're adored by millions, and they're still not happy, you know. They're still miserable and shouting and effing and blinding.
Yeah, I mean, the highlight reel of the modern Wimbledon is still the same, isn't it? Whereas the highlight, you'd get somebody out of the crowd or so. There's always something going on in the old days.
I remember Nastasi, he started to rain. The umpire says, "You can't go off." He went and got an umbrella off someone in the crowd, and he had his umbrella in his left hand and his racket in the other, you know.
Is that true for all sport? I mean, snooker, you had characters.
Yeah.
And
it's too serious now. I mean, they say, oh, it's because of the money involved, but they've all got loads.
I mean, not enough.
Not enough, obviously. Yeah.
That's my
idea. Send some our way. Patreon. Is how you do it. Like Jane did. Thank you very much, Jane. So is there anything else to add? I mean, this is Pauline's special.
No, just... that you let me down with...
Well, did you let us down or did I let you...
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay. Well,
anybody who's not seen them, give them a look.
Do you want to give us the names again?
Green Book, Lion.
We're getting both of them on DVD, are we?
Not Lion.
Oh,
Dad ain't got that one. Green Book.
You said you were going to get me another film.
I feel like this is a conversation we should have afterwards. Yeah. Sorry, listeners. I have to rein them in sometimes. It's ridiculous. So we're going to end on a song as we always do.
What is it, Bob?
This is... oh, let me turn it
up. What's the genre?
I would say this is... I don't know genre. This is like Alanis Morissette, maybe.
Oh, ironic, don't you think?
Or
Black Rain! I love that song.
Bloody hell, I thought he's having a funny turn. Back in the pub again.
this is Upside Down.
upside down. And you know you turn me inside out.
No, not that one.
Round and round.
All right, come on then. Upside Down by Esther.
Upside Down, you're turning.
Is he Australian?
Esther and the Sisters. Smiley?
Esther and the Sisters.
And the Sisters.
Esther and the Sisters. Okay.
Upside Down. Enjoy it. Thank you, Pauline, for
your
honourable mentions. Well, half of them. And Dave, thank you very much for your diary input.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Oh, should we mention the next episode, Dave?
Should we?
Yeah.
What is it in?
Well, it's the non-film one. No? Okay. No, okay. Oh, okay, we'll move on.
You're meant to be in charge. You're meant to know.
I'm not. It's the round of 16 next time.
You've been listening to this far, you know, from the beginning. You know that I'm never in control of what's going on.
We have got a special coming up shortly, which will be our 100th episode.
It's
about two or three episodes time, which we're going to have a bit of a special on that.
Yep.
But next time, it's the first round of 16 match.
Okay. All right, then. Okay. And here we are, Upside Down by Esther and the Sisters. Enjoy. Bye.
See you later.
Upside.